Toad House.
I was trying to figure out when in the conversation I'm supposed to start acting more intelligent. And so there was like a defining point, right?
When you disconnect, that's when you can start being intelligent again.
You know the name of this particular podcast. But,
yeah, there's not a very high bar.
Well, no, I don't feel that when I'm listening to the Chode House, you know? When I'm listening to the Chode House, I expect good things from the Chode House, right? No sloppy turd. I never get a sloppy turd.
I forgot right. That was still up there.
Whose contribution it's our motto. Is that? I'm going to guess, is that D's contribution was the no sloppy turd?
It's not. Cannot blame me
Ethan.
For that one.
I think that was Ethan, actually.
Oh, really?
That was all.
I have full creative control over our descriptions, and that's why, like, if you ever read the episode descriptions, they do not make any sense whatsoever.
You know what's funny is that when Ethan was listening to the Happy Fangirl podcast and he heard the thing about Fight Club and the ending being changed in China, Ethan was like, oh, that sounds like an interesting topic. What's funny though is that the reason why I'm on the Chode House is because of Fight Club, because of Marla Singer, that character on Fight Club. She goes to a testicular cancer support group. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the film.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So she goes to that support group, but she's a woman, right? And yeah. I was thinking, you know, if Marla Singer can go to that support group and she's a woman, then even though I don't have a chode, I can find my way onto the Chode House. Just like Marla Singer.
That's truly an inspiring story. Did you sell the rights? Is that a Lifetime movie? Are you going, is it going to be the ON?
I think I should, right? Because that inspired me. That character inspired me. I'm like, don't be afraid. You know, you can have a metaphorical chode house. Right? You have a metaphorical chode and you can make it onto the Chode House. Probably. Just like she wasn't kicked out of that support group. So, and she held her own in that support group. She was crying and everything as if she was horribly affected, yeah, right?
Right.
But, yeah. So,
I actually didn't know. So when Ethan brought that up, we were kind of discussing this week. I've seen that movie a ton. Like, I'm not saying I've watched it thousands of times. It's not my favorite movie of all time, but I really enjoy it. I've seen it a lot, mm-hmm. and I never heard and didn't know that they changed the ending. Like,
That's the first I heard about it was on her podcast.
The Happy Fangirl podcast.
Happy Fangirl.
Broke the news to you. And I never, like, I just watched that movie just recently. I never would have watched that movie unless I was looking for something that was based on a book. I was looking for some sort of thing. I can read a book and then review the movie. And we do so much Brendan Fraser stuff, romance, action, things like that. I was like, well, why not this movie? I've never seen it. It's supposedly a great movie. And I mean, it kind of inspired me. Like I was like, well, during the day, I would like to be like Edward Norton. And then at night, I would like to be like Tyler Durden because that looks really cool.
Like a superhero thing. Right? There.
It's funny to me. I didn't take this as the way you meant it just now, but it's funny to me that a lot of the, I would call them maybe dregs of society. Like a lot of people you probably wouldn't want to associate with in real life just because of their attitudes. Like identified with Tyler Durden, and kind of propped him up as this perfect figure when he's kind of supposed to be the antithesis of that. He's not supposed to be this thing that you. Glorify, I guess. Yeah, aspire to. And he's not evil. The movie's not simple as far as black and white. It's not Tyler's evil. And I honestly can't remember Edward Norton's character's name because all I can think of is Edward Norton right now.
But, he doesn't have a name because Cornelius. He is actual. Right?
What?
Yeah. They never give his name.
They never say his name in that movie?
That's crazy.
No, yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. No, Marla calls him something. What does Marla
call? She calls him Tyler, I think.
Yeah, she calls him Tyler Durden.
Like, she says Tyler a bunch, but
he thinks he's Tyler Durden.
That's because he's calling himself whenever he's with her, he's Tyler Durden.
Yeah, I just I could have sworn at the beginning, like in the scene, the few scenes where it's him isolated, like the insurance for like the fire and everything. I thought he. I guess you're right, though. No wonder my mind's blanking because I was sitting here going, "God, what is that dude's name?" I just said I liked the movie and I can't think of this fucking name. But right.
Well, I wonder, like, maybe he just blocked out his own name, and then that's why they don't reveal the name, because he must know somewhere in his subconscious, because Tyler Durden is part of him, right? So he must know, part of his brain knows who he is, I would think.
Yeah somewhere, part. maybe deep down in there, tucked away in a corner.
That truth part.
Yeah.
Well, even so they do touch on that some in the movie. So you remember when that guy dies? I can't remember his name
Bitch
either.
Bitch tits.
Oh yeah,
Meatloaf.
Robert Paulson.
His name was Robert Paulson.
In death, his name is Robert Paulson. Like, you don't have
name
a name.
Was Robert Paulson
until you die.
Yeah.
It was sacrifice. They did a great job framing. I felt like framing it as a just showing how occultish it was. Like it never felt, or at least I took it this way, it never felt I guess bad from within, but it's just a complete brainwashed cult. Like I don't know, it's the everything, just the hold that Tyler had over them was absolutely insane. And it's one of those movies that truly the more like or not I guess not the more you watch it, but after the first time you've watched it, you've got the big plot twist. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it by now, I don't really know what to tell you. But once you know the plot twist and you rewatch it and you see all those, like, because there are subtle little hints about, you know, Edward Norton being Tyler.
Oh, man,
we've already popped that chair.
We popped that chair.
Yeah.
It's over.
Let her go. No, I was just saying it's cool that, like, once you've seen it once and you go back and watch it a second time or a third time, you're like, oh, it's, you know, you see how people look at him or how he responds in certain situations. I think the director the cast and crew in general did a good job of framing it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was,
yeah.
I do wonder though why. So specifically back to the China thing real quick, because since it sounds like Fran and Ethan know more than I do at least. Like, is it just a simple like they don't want anti-government propaganda? Is it really that simple, or is there some deeper thing I'm not thinking about?
I think it's just they don't want the government, like, if you think it makes sense if you're the dictator of a country, right? You don't want people thinking about blowing up buildings and changing regimes.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Right? Tyler Durden wants to destroy capitalism by blowing up credit card companies because he thinks it's wrong. Well, China, They are like, we don't want our citizens doing that. No ideas. Let's not give them ideas.
We don't want to glorify it. We don't want to glorify it, right? We don't want to make it look like a romantic thing.
It is kind of ironic, though, when you think about it. So what you just said, I'm not saying you're wrong, but when he wants to destroy capitalism and the things that prop it up. It's funny that China, that at face value, that sounds like a message you would think China would get behind, right? They'd be like, America's terrible, capitalism.
Glorious democracy and capitalist society of China. Yeah, totally.
Now that makes sense when you think about that. Yeah, it does make sense that they wouldn't want, that they would be like, yay, bye-bye capitalism. But the thing is that Their country is kind of a little bit capitalist too. Is that right?
I would say for the very rich, maybe. I think if you're an elite there, it approaches some semblance of that. But for the common people, I would say no, definitely.
I mean,
not.
Officially, they're a communist country. Officially,
right? That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're the elite, it probably resembles some form of a capitalist.
Right.
Country.
If you're in the club, you're in the party, you're in the cool kids club at the top, then you get to do capitalist shit.
Right.
That's kind of how they work.
Yeah.
And I think instead of bye-bye capitalism or attacking capitalism, it was deeper than that. It was like, we're going to grind away at the foundations of what's holding up our culture or what everyone thinks is holding up their culture. We're gonna kill your sacred cows. We're going to tear all that down, and then what have you got left? Because the whole thing, I felt like anyway, was about stripping you down to just your bare humanity. If we take away credit card companies, we take away banks, we take away all this other stuff, what's left? And that in the original, if you recall, it's him and, if I remember right, it's him and Marla like just like holding each other as the whole thing is falling down around them. And it's people. We have each other, and that's what we got when it all comes falling down. But, you know, if you're the regime, you don't want it to fall down. You need things to keep going. You need the train to stay on the rails because you're very, very, very dependent upon the people, you know, doing that thing they do and making you lots of money.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, that's a good take on it, really. I didn't really think about it, about stripping you down to the bare bones. Like the fighting is a very primal, right?
We're going to shave your hair. We're going to clip your nails. You're going to dress different, walk different, talk different. We're going to take you down to what it is to be human. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to, then we're going to blow up all everything. And then this is where it takes off. It does actually take off the rails. Then we're going to force everybody to do what we do. And it's like, oh, well, hold on now.
Right. Well, that's what I was about to just say. It's funny that I don't disagree with what you're saying. It is, you know, it is stripping away the things that Tyler views as not necessary. But it's funny because he's not letting you be an individual. He's stripping everybody down, including himself. Yes. But it's still his vision of what you should be.
Right.
He's molding you into him. Yeah. Yes. So you're not, it's not the... I don't know. And I guess you could argue that, well, you can't have someone teach you and strip you down and not influence you. That's impossible. There's always going to be an influence left. But I would say it's pretty obvious the way they showed Tyler doing it. It was, again, it was a cult. It was brainwash. It wasn't just a subtle influence and a, you know what, go find yourself and maybe also make some explosives out of lye soap. But no, you're going to do exactly what I want you to do.
Right. But, and if you can't get with the program, you're out.
So is that all they changed, though? Is it just the ending? I mean, I'm not saying... Okay, okay.
Yeah, I think so. And it must be very disappointing for a Chinese person to watch that. And they're expecting a nice payoff. And then they find out...
Yeah, that's a very bad ending.
That makes me wonder how they feel about that movie over there. Is it a cult classic like it is over here? Or is it... It's like, yeah, not so much. Kind of lame.
I don't think the Chinese, now, you know, I don't know for sure, but I don't think the Chinese people really enjoy movies that go against the government.
But yeah, I was about to say something similar. I think Western film and media is still pretty heavily demonized. Like, I'm not saying they don't watch it. Obviously they do, but I think I'm pretty sure, I could be mistaken. I know Japan and South Korea have this somewhat as well, but I'm pretty sure China is the one I'm remembering where they're very nationalistic about their media, not like news media, but like creative media. Like it's very like support Chinese movies, support, you know, Chinese TV shows.
Okay.
So
it's not just it may have been the government in the beginning, but now everybody's been conditioned to that. Do you think that, or do you think that they're just trying to support their country more than others?
I think there can be some genuine feelings. I think you can, even though I do think it's extreme conditioning, you could maybe argue borderline brainwashing that's decades in the making. I do think that that doesn't mean you can't honestly take pride in your own country. I'm sure that happens. Like, I don't know. It's hard to speak for people, but I would find it very hard to believe that there isn't some sentiment in any country of if someone makes a movie and it's, you know,
well, sure.
The star is from your place. You're still going to be proud of them. Yeah. But I would say the government's a big part of it.
I wonder sometimes if, and this touches back on Fight Club, so I wonder if more control is gained over convincing people that they are individuals or convincing people that they are all the same.
Oh, I think definitely that the it's much easier to manage people if you convince them that they're all the same. Because if you convince people that they're individuals, then you have to make all sorts of different propaganda films to get them to fall in line, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Like with China, they don't want any depictions of homosexuality in their media, because if people are homosexuals there, if they allow homosexuality to be open there, then people are not going to have the same goals and the same dreams. They're not going to be like, you know, wanting to get married if they're not, you know, if they're not allowed to. I mean, the Chinese government want as much uniformity, I would think, as they can possibly get to control people.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Because they're a tool of the state.
I do. The only I fully agree with your point, Bran. I think the only counterpoint, or not counterpoint, but I could see some value in convincing, I'm air quoting, you just can't see it, convincing people that they're individuals, but doing it in a controlled enough manner. I think you could, I think you could get the same result, but it almost might work better on people that are maybe higher emotional intelligence. Because some people, even if they don't have a choice, like, you know, they understand they have to fall in line, or maybe they don't eat, maybe they get arrested, but there's still going to be that resentment, and they're going to know that you're molding them, right? But if you can somehow convince those people, no, I'm not molding you at all, I'm encouraging you to be you, but you can manipulate them enough that you're still controlling them, I think that's like, I think that's the more powerful option. I think it's harder to do.
I think that's what we do.
Yeah.
I think that's 100% what U.S. culture does. It's like we tell people, oh, you can, you're your own person. You can be whoever you want until you get over on a third rail, and then it's like, well, hold on now.
You're too much of an individual.
You are taking this individual stuff way too far. And then it's like, okay, well, so it's not
still
true.
We still group together in tribes, so to speak.
Sure.
Naturally.
Yeah. I wonder how much of that happens. I wonder how much of that happens in countries that have more authoritarian control, though. It's kind of getting off topic, I guess, but it's human nature to have teams and tribes. But if you're, you know, not by no means saying this country's perfect, but if you're comparing like us to, let's say, Russia or China, I wonder if there's more, you know, tribal natural grouping here where people are quote unquote more free, or they have more opinions, or if it would happen more in a situation where everyone kind of feels on edge all the time. Because I mean, feel like that's for the common person in China. I don't live there, obviously, but I would think that all these, like, whether it's social credit or just the economy, or probably in the back of your head understanding that a lot of what you're being told is lies, that's got to take a toll on you psychologically. Like, you can only deal with that for so long.
Yeah, I think you have to keep it on the down low. Like, I don't know if the tribes would probably have a hard time forming if you have to keep it so deeply on the down low, I would think. But
that's true. Yeah.
I'm sure there would be some tribes forming, though, but it would just be kind of not something that would be advertised. Like I think you can be religious in China, but you just can't make a big deal about it.
There's like an approved religion, right? I'm pretty sure there's a government. I'm not going to say it. I honestly don't know. But I think if you don't follow,
Tao,
if you
aren't
don't,
they?
Maybe that sounds kind Taoism? Of vaguely familiar.
Yeah, Tao. I'm pretty sure they're Tao. I mean, I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure they're Tao is Tao.
Oh, they're officially an atheist state.
Ah, well, cool. There you go.
Okay.
My fault. So they officially recognize Taoism and Buddhism and Catholicism and Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But they're official, so they recognize those. So I guess if you maybe fall into one of those, are pretty broad categories.
So you know what that means, though.
One of those.
If whenever your national religion is none, your national religion is the state. That's how that works.
Yeah, it seems like I would argue they would. That's kind of why they would say that or state it or try to control it.
That's exactly why.
And I don't know if I said that right. But is that he's not one of those I've been, you know, ordained by God or
No, he's not like North Korea. It's like he was born on a mountainside and the clouds came down and lifted him up and took him down.
Yeah.
And then the sun smiled and all that fun stuff.
Snow, you were saying something. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I don't remember where I was going with it. It's just, yeah, it's I guess it's Ethan put it, or not Ethan, I'm sorry, D put it pretty well. It's just, you know, when there's no, I guess they, like it says they allow the religions. And I think like what Fran was saying, I think if you fall into one of those categories, as long as you aren't too happy about it, right? I think you probably hit it right on the money there with what you said, Fran. Like it's, if you do it quietly, they're not going to make a big deal about it. But if you try to make this big church, like Catholic church that starts getting more popular than the government, you're probably going to get a couple of knocks on your door.
Yeah, you know? And you can't proselytize either. That's a no-no. They'll
as long as you keep it on the down low, just keep everything you do. I think you can be gay.
Do whatever you want.
Like, I don't think Chinese people hate gay people. I think that they accept them, but just don't make a big deal about it, and then the government will be okay with it. I think that's pretty much.
I've heard something similar. Honestly, what I imagine it to be is it's convenient until it's not. Like if you are gay and you live in China, maybe they leave you alone. Then the first time you make the wrong enemy, I feel like they would use that against you.
Yeah.
Or if you get anywhere appreciable, right? You become the, you know, leadership in any company. You become, you know, somebody important at all. And they find out you're homosexual. Well, that's going to be a problem.
Within reason, I would say that the upper echelons don't worry about that. They probably
unless you make it to like the super elite, and then it's like, oh, well, you know, nothing.
We're all gay.
Right.
Do what you want. Yeah.
Probably worse.
Yeah, probably much worse.
Probably way worse.
just to inform anyone who's listening, the ending to Fight Club was changed in China to read, through the clue provided by Tyler, the police rapidly figured out the whole plan and arrested all criminals, successfully preventing the bomb from exploding. After the trial, Tyler was sent to Lunatic Asylum, receiving psychological treatment. He was discharged from the hospital in 2012.
You know what's funny? Even if you're in China, you're like, no, hell no. They shot that dude. They shot that dude 100%. They gunned his ass down.
He's dead.
He went to
I would feel
court.
So cheated by that ending. I would feel so cheated. I would want to see at least a montage of him in handcuffs, ending up in a straitjacket. I want to see some visuals. I just don't like that it fades to black and has that ending because... like too much action at the end, too tidy of a
man,
little.
Could you imagine?
I need to see it. I need to see him like straight jacketed. That's right. What I need.
Maybe for your ending, they could show that. And if it was made today, they would show the leader currently, I think it's pronounced G. They would show him going to the asylum and having a heartfelt talk with Tyler and converting him to a glorious communist that was first, and then he would be discharged. I feel like that would be the bow on top.
He would reform. He would reform. Yeah. He would become a party member and love the state. Yes, of course. Yes. Why not? It's fantasy after all, or I don't know, fiction after all, right?
There's a couple. I don't know. I don't know if. If this is also on the Happy Fangirl podcast is what yours is called, Fran. I don't know if this is what Ethan brought these up as well, but okay. there's a couple more I wanted to touch on. One specifically, because this one, or this idea rather, not a specific one, but an idea, something Ethan and I talked about separately. It seems like that ghosts aren't allowed in a lot of ways. In like paranormal, and I meant to look this up beforehand, and honestly, I'm not gonna lie and say I did because I didn't. But I feel like it's a respect thing. Like they view it as it's like a cultural. It's disrespectful to show ghosts. Like it's disrespectful to a family. Like once you're dead, it's supposed to be this very reverent thing.
Pass on. You don't want your top thing.
I've never heard that, but it makes sense.
I'd read a few you know little blog posts or articles and stuff talking about this, and they had referenced a few different movies and One of them I read had mentioned ghosts, and it was like they don't really show ghosts there. Not like, and I don't, and when I say ghosts, I think of more like, what's a movie where you see like spirits, like, you know, not people in sheets and shit like that, but.
So actually, like, it looks like
semi-transparent type thing.
Oh, that movie with a. Oh, man, crap.
Patrick Swayze.
Well, okay, you could do that. go original. Now, what's the Back to the Future kid? Mark, I can't remember. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh. It looks like we're wrong, though. So I'm just going to retract what I said. Yeah, that's why I should have looked it up beforehand. It looks like it's. I can't find anything that says it's not. I could have sworn it was like a reverence thing, but there's a few examples given just on Wikipedia and some supporting articles as well that says ghosts are a pretty popular theme in Chinese cinema, like a horror specifically.
Okay.
So well, no, I just completely totally retract that.
Well, yeah, okay.
We'll edit it out.
Yeah, not make me look as bad.
All right, then. So I want to go back to something then that Fran said, because she said it and I went, wait, what? And it was Brendan Fraser and books that were turned into movies.
Yeah, you know, my podcast buddies and I, we all met on the Brendan Fraser 2.0. We all we're all over the Brendan Fraser movies. The most romantic movie of all time, I think, is a Brendan Fraser movie called Still Breathing, which has a China issue with it.
I've never actually heard of that movie, so hit me.
Okay, well, it's you guys would actually hate it. there's no respectful member of a Chode house, of any Chode house across the country, that would actually watch this movie, because it's like, it's so romantic, it almost makes you feel like passing out because of the romance. Anyway,
is it like super chick flick, like it's Steel Magnolias? Chick. It's like we need to, you know,
I'll tell
gird
you, very,
your loins, get ready, it's coming.
Yeah, just take an anti-nausea, it's ready. But it's actually, I'm just like this movie. I've been watching the same scene over and over and over again for the last 20 years and maybe 30 years now. Okay. Anyway, almost 30 years.
You do love this movie, all right.
Yeah, it's Fletcher. Fletcher is a Texan, and every man in his family has a vision. They get a vision of the woman that they're going to marry, and then they go out to find them. Okay. And he ends up, through a little bit of comedy of errors, finding this woman who actually is a con artist, who is actually there to steal his money. And he warms her heart and opens up her heart to find love again when she has given up on love. Okay. That's basically the nuts and bolts of it. Okay. And his vision tells him to go to Formosa. And Formosa is the older name for Taiwan, what Taiwan used to be called. And in the movie, he keeps on saying he's going to Taiwan, China. Like, he just doesn't let up on the China. Okay? Right? I mean, like, you can just say, I'm going to Taiwan. But no, Fletcher, in his romance, he keeps on saying, I'm heading off to Taiwan, China. Taiwan, please China.
Please say it's edited. Please say they added that in as a stand-in, and it's not actually Brendan Fraser saying China.
It is Brendan. Oh, it's okay. Brendan all saying right. China all the time. So this was around the time of, I heard something about 1994, China was opened to receiving foreign films in it, like the American films could start going into China around 1994. There was like an influx into China. I don't know all the details or whatever, but that's around when Brendan said Taiwan, China. And I'm like, Brendan, why did you have to do this to us?
That's so why? Funny.
As a fellow Canadian American, because he's also a Canadian American, why does he have to bring China into it? Why? Okay. But It's not his fault. It's not his fault. That's what the script said, and he was saying what the script said. And they wanted they wanted the movie to do well in China. So I understand that.
So it was a book then. It was a book that got turned into a movie.
No, no. My book turns into movie. That's something I just stipulated on my podcast fairly recently because I am...
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, because I need to have something that expands my mind a little bit instead of just talking about romantic movies, because otherwise I'm going to be bored as hell on my podcast. So I need to read a book first. And my podcast has several new rules that have come into play.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there's new rules. First rule. Now, you guys are going to hate me for this, okay? But my first rule is that Disney movies and cartoons, I believe that should only be watched between people between the ages of 2 and 8 years old. And I'm like, no, we're not going to review any like princess movies or anything like that. Okay. Also on my podcast, new rule, no superheroes. Okay.
No cape movies.
Oh.
Huh?
No superheroes. I'm like, superheroes. This is according to me. Okay. My rule is that only between the ages of 8 and 13 are superhero movies. And then by the age of 13, you have to start doing coming of age movies or adult movies at 13.
I was so, about to ask, do you have to start reading John Grisham when you turn 13? I mean, is that what the cutoff is?
Well, that might be actually a good idea. I might add that on, you know. But I tricked all my podcast buddies. And if you listen, if any of the listeners listen to my Fight Club one, I pretended to watch Lilo and Stitch. And I was still able to pass the quiz that my podcast buddy Jazz made for me for Lilo and Stitch to prove that I watched it. And it wasn't until I passed the quiz and I had to say a few things that I was suffering from dyslexia and that's why I couldn't get the experiment number right and really all this other stuff. I had to. But so I ended up passing her quiz and then I said, you know, I don't understand how anybody can watch that crap anyway. Like, yeah. So anyway, I think I always trust, I don't know if you guys do this with your podcast, you know, you guys are all co-hosts. Do you guys test the boundaries frequently? Like, does Ethan test what he can say with Snow or with Dee just to see what you can get away with? To see what you can get away with?
We've known each other for quite a while longer than the podcast has been going.
Yeah, we test each other in probably every way, every day.
Yeah,
it's just part of the package.
This is us being nice. Challenge. This is us being nice and trying to make something that is marketable.
Yeah.
So in private, it gets much worse.
Oh God.
Oh yeah. It's Lord. Just
vile.
You know, it is interesting. So I'll say that a couple of things. We can get into specifics. I think there's too many superhero movies now. I'm a big fan of superhero movies if they're done well. I have a couple. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I read the comics growing up. I've just always been attached to him. But I think that I don't think it's necessarily an incorrect thing to like to say just, you know, we're kind of done with them or not even want to talk about them, whether you're joking or being completely serious, because they're being churned out and they're so formulaic that it's not enjoyable to me, at least. Again, it's all opinions. Everything's subjective here, but they're so formulaic that it's like what are we doing here? And I feel
we'll
like
start talking about Disney,
right. Well, in Disney movies too, to a certain degree. I'm not saying they were ever original because there's people that absolutely like get irrationally angry about Disney and like, oh, all they do is copy fairy tales. It's like, well, yeah, sure, that's okay, true, good job, you're right. But I feel like they're even more formulaic now, and maybe it's just recency bias. I don't know, but I feel like they're even more formulaic now than they've ever been. It's like superhero movies. Mm-hmm. So, but they both print money. So what do I know? Like, I'm sure if one of the producers of these movies heard me say this, they'd be like, what have you done with your life? I made $6 billion in the last decade.
Selling the same fucking story that I've already sold 5 times. I sold it again. And they keep buying it. It's like,
well, I can't say that the movies that I enjoy are not formulaic. I love knife tussle movies in which there's, yeah, like somebody breaks into your house and you are in the kitchen and you are like moving backwards on your kitchen counter, reaching for things behind you to try to fend off the attacker.
So you like slasher movies then?
I like that kind of stuff. And that's very formulaic. So,
what about John Wick? They broke in his house and killed his dog. John Wick?
But he didn't back away. He killed everyone. Well, I mean,
they did break into his house and killed his dog.
Okay, sure.
Okay, well, maybe I might give that a chance then. But is that a superhero movie? Because I have...
No, hell no.
Strict, it kind of is.
My self-identity...
He is an assassin.
Oh, your self-identity is your self-identity is wholly based on what
you're saying. Like if the or genres, I don't know how to say that. The genres of movie or my self-identity goes for horror, but not like Saw movies. I don't really like that.
That's torture porn. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I hate torture porn, but I really love like adrenaline and somebody's breaking in and you're running for your life. And I also like those movies. You know, Ethan was on my podcast talking about the H.P. Lovecraft adaptation From Beyond.
From Beyond,
I like that too, where it's just ridiculous. I love ridiculous horror as well.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny. Have you ever seen The Society? If you like ridiculous horror, you should. Maybe it's just, hold on. No, it's called Society. I'm sorry, not The Society. It is very...
Is that a school-based one?
Is it a what? Sorry. Right? No, it's based on... there's a school kid in it. It's based on The Elite, and it's very... It's purposely over the top. Like, it's so gory and, like... Not torture porn, but so, like, gory and body horror that it's almost a comedy in a way. It is not a good movie, so don't come to me if you hate it. It's not good. It's just, it's so bad that if you're into that kind of genre, you have to at least try it one time.
There are so many movies that are right there, like the worst movie, but I fucking love that movie. Like one of them's Bubba Hotep. It's the dumbest shit you could possibly imagine. I love that shit. It is so damn dumb. Dumbest shit ever, but it is so like ridiculously stupid funny. It's just like, it's one of those movies, it's just like, what were y'all thinking when you made this?
The famous Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. Bruce Campbell in it. And it was just, it's like some weird evil spirit has got into this old folks community home and is killing people. He's got to save them. But he's Elvis is the twist.
He thinks he's Elvis. Or he may be. They never confirm.
It's so fucking stupid, but it's just like there's some one liners in there that's just like, oh my God.
I remember one of my favorite moments in the film was he was talking about something, and at the end of it he's like, what do I know? I got a growth in my pecker. Apparently, it's some sort of
got this
growth.
Weird wart on my picker.
Yeah, it's so stupid. But I love them. I love it, man. I like all kinds of horror. I don't really get into the Saw so much. But go ahead.
Well, what's funny is that Ethan came on my podcast and we talked about From Beyond. We both loved it. Or enjoyed it. I don't know if it's like, you know, we absolutely loved it, but it's an enjoyable movie. And then after that, I was like, I want to review Reanimator. And I had Chad from, we used to talk about this at work podcast, and he watched that movie and he was like, I don't understand how anybody could watch such a misogynistic, vile, violent piece of crap.
Wow.
And when he came on the podcast, I had never met him before. And
Reanimator.
Reanimator. Oh, I was not prepared to talk to somebody because it was the first time I've ever talked to somebody who didn't like the movie that I mentioned, right? And all
of a sudden,
you got to
defend it a little bit.
Well, I was deflated. And instead of defending it at first, I was just like, all of a sudden, I was like, am I a bad person? I think I might be a bad person. And so our podcast topic turned into racism, misogyny, and
oh Lord help us.
And I'd then be like, by oh, the okay. end, by the end though, I was like, but I was defending it at the end because I was like, I think people just like found it humorous. I think the movie was humorous, and I'm a big fan of Alice Cooper, and I've been to an Alice Cooper concert, and I'm a fan of the whole over the top thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's how you take it. If you take, because he didn't have a problem with Hostel, watching Hostel.
Jesus.
So I was thinking Hostel seems more misogynistic to me than Reanimator does, even though Reanimator has, like, you know, it's got that head giving head scene, which is like, it's like, yeah, don't watch that on the airplane because you don't want to watch that with anybody looking over your shoulder, right? But it just seems like the torture porn of today is much more misogynistic, I would say, than some schlocky, crappy movie from the 80s.
That is interesting that it seems like he took issue with, like, the very overt, like, there is the scene where, you know, the woman gets, I think it's, there's a hand too, right? She's getting raped by like a severed hand or some kind of barely attached hand.
Well, it's not the hand. It's the head. The guy has got no head anymore. And he's like walking around with his head, holding it, doing things.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Well, I took it so over the top. Well, yeah, exactly. How can you take that seriously and say there's a message at all? Right, and then in Hostel, I just watched it kind of recently. I'm trying to remember. Maybe his point was there's something that happens to a woman in Reanimator, because I don't think there's a woman victim in Hostel. It's all men. There's the three friends, and then the guy they meet. So maybe that was his viewpoint. It was a very simple, that's kind of a very simplistic reductionist view, but okay, yeah. I guess
what it is that I was also thinking it was maybe a generational thing. I come from shock rock era, okay, of, well, yeah, Alice Cooper. Like, that was big in my family, Alice Cooper. And so I think... I found humor in it, I guess, because I've watched so many Alice Cooper shows and I've never taken it seriously, I guess.
Yeah.
It's over the top.
I couldn't imagine actually being offended by Reanimator. Honestly, like you said, it's just that movies like that. I mean, it's like society as well. There's some, if you try to break those over the top horror movies, I mean any over the top movie, but horror has a subgenre that's well known for it. If you really try to break those down, I'm sure you can be offended by it, but yeah. I don't know.
You can't just declare something misogynistic because a woman gets killed in it. It's like, no, women get killed too. That happens all the time.
Well, yeah.
Women get killed.
Just being, just offense in general, no matter what your reason is for being offended, it's like there's that, to me, there's like a curve. Like there's things that, you know, gross me out. Like, there can be gore presented in a way that I'm like, oh, that makes me feel kind of weird. But if it hits that point of ridiculousness, I'm just unaffected at that point. It's like your brain, it hits that point that your brain goes, oh, well, this is fucking fake. Like, this is obviously fake. None of this matters.
Right. And from Beyond, there's a scene where this guy's like, his whole body is pretty much melted, right? Except his head. like it looks like that's all weird. Of his organs have been completely destroyed, but somehow he's still, you know, vocalizing his pain, and he's still able to move his head around. But everything else is just like this gooey lump on the floor.
Like, that's okay. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, it's a good one, man.
I know it does have
Jeffrey Combs in it too, so.
Oh, wow. I thought I'd seen it, but I looked up the placard, and I don't think I have.
It's just worth it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I would recommend it. I watched it and reviewed it with Ethan because it had I had watched like five minutes of it or something while I was in university and turned it off, and then I was too scared to ever see the movie again. It somehow it affected me. Something about holding him down and doing like electric, somebody get electric shock therapy and stuff like that. It was just, it really upset me when I was in my early 20s. I'm 48 now. So, but then I watched it again and I'm like, what was I on crack when I watched it the first time or what? Why did this bother me?
So if that's a specific like a, I guess trigger, for lack of a better word, for you, have you seen Clockwork Orange? And if so, did it creep you out?
Oh, I didn't want to watch that either. I don't like, I actually am not into being tied down and having things done with my eyes or anything like that.
Agreed.
Yeah,
well, I'm definitely, you know, I'm not into that personally, but I do like Clockwork Orange a lot. I could see that being not
the thing is with the eyes
of.
Though.
Yeah,
that's why
yeah.
I went to get fake eyelashes, and it's a 2-hour ordeal to get fake eyelashes.
Like, what?
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that sounds awful.
I mean, I don't have them anymore. I had them removed because what happened was they actually tape down your eyelids when they do it. And I just kept on while she's doing it. She's like fiddling around with your eyelids and, you know, they glue these individual eyelashes onto your eyelashes. And it just, every time I close my eyes, all of these horror movies involving stuff done with your eyes, like Clockwork Orange, all of that went into my head. And I couldn't take it. I had a panic attack while I'm having these eyelashes put on.
Just because extensions? Of
these, yeah, these extensions. It's an ordeal. Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, my eyelids, my eyelashes were very beautiful. But every time I close my eyes, I was just thinking about Clockwork Orange and all of these horror movies with these things done with your eyelids.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm terrible.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a fan.
I thought that it was like some shit that you just bought and stuck it on your eyeballs.
Yeah, same.
On your eyelashes.
Yeah, I clearly did not know what was involved.
Yeah, no, but I went for the Supreme. The Supreme involves a 2-hour thing. Yeah. And well, the woman was kind of brusque with me. She didn't really like my reaction. I said,
"In the chair, bitch."
I said to her, "Is this how it's going?" When she was doing the taping down and everything, I was like, "Is this how it's going to feel for the whole time?" I'm just double checking, "Is this how it's feel?" Because I was having like a little panic attack, and she said to me, "It's going to be as bad as you make it."
Fuck off with that.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
It was like kind of a rough ride. It was, yeah.
Lord mercy. It's like, who's paying the bill here? Am I not paying for this? Hello?
I know.
Lost your freaking mind?
If you need me, you need me.
Right. Just stop. I'd like my money back, please.
Well,
just for that
I'm not getting fake eyelashes. So
yeah, don't do it. I don't recommend it. Like, buy.
Well, that's what I was going to get for your birthday. So I guess I got to find something else now.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well.
Get ruined.
Sorry, boys.
Do you guys have that though? When you're going through your everyday life. And then all of a sudden, some image from a horror movie. Like, obviously, everybody has the Final Destination being behind the logging truck, right? You're thinking, okay, right? But do you guys have that? Like, you know, with my eyelashes thing.
Well,
are you going through
like
your everyday life?
I like a lot of existential horror movies. And so, yes, often.
Oh,
often I think about how, you know, minute my existence is and the full scope of the cosmos and, you know, how futile it is.
I don't know if I have a specific thing I think about for horror movies. I am deathly afraid of spiders. So I see enough of those in real life that it fucks with me, but I can't. I mean, for sure there are horror movies that stick with me. I mean, maybe just the generic, like, sometimes when you get up in the middle of the night and you're half awake and you're going to get some water or something. You're like, oh, and you just feel like kind of like heebie-jeebie. I guess that would be the closest for me.
Yeah, I live with constant, like somebody's trying to get into my house Always.
That's okay, though. You guys come from the south. You guys got guns and stuff.
That's what it's always going through my mind. Who's that son of a bitch out there trying to get my fucking house? I'm about to annihilate this person.
He always locks the door when his wife goes to check the mail, so it's actually his reality.
Take the keys with you.
She's all the time trying to get back into the house. Now, y'all don't ever, like, you know, think about, you know, some cosmic entity that is much bigger and unknowable, unimaginable than anything.
Man, I'm religious. You know me.
Man, I think about that when I'm playing Delta Green, but it's in the context of the game, so it's okay.
I'm trying to figure out this guy.
There's definitely I think everybody has those existential moments where you're like, is anything matter? Is there just a void waiting for me? But I don't associate that with a monster. That's just associated with just a, you know, what is out there kind of thing. And so I would say that's probably, if we want to call that a horror aspect, that fucks with me sometimes. Yeah. You're just getting that kick and you can't shut your brain off. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, shut up.
Right. I guess the big thing for me would be, if we're talking about, like, you know, your general horror movies, then it would be, like, sometimes I freak myself out because I'll be walking through the house, it'd be pitch black, and, you know, I don't say pitch black, very little light coming in through the window, and, you know, you're trying to feel your way around, and you're trying to be quiet, and then you get to the bathroom, and it's, like, dark as fuck in there, and you're like, God, wouldn't it be horrible if I turn on the light and someone's there?
Yeah.
You don't have shower gun? Oh man, you gotta step your game up.
I used to work with a guy who had
a shower gun.
He always told me he had a gun. He had a gun like 5 feet away from him at all times. In his home. There were guns everywhere and he could get to it.
The only time you catch me slipping is when I'm going out to get the mail. Maybe.
Oh, y'all heard it here, folks.
Wait beside his mailbox. You've got him.
Yep. Wait in his mailbox.
If I'm just too lazy to strap up to go get the mail. No, I'm not quite that bad, but it's just, it's always like, hey, I can't sleep. That's a military thing, too. It's hard to sleep if I don't have something close to me where I know I can defend myself.
So, Fran, do you have a favorite horror movie?
My favorite horror movie? Oh, The Shining.
Ooh.
Hey, that's a good one. Have you seen Dr. Sleep?
No.
Oh, you should. I've heard of it. The book is amazing. You should read the book, or the audio book's really good, too. The narrator's great. But the movie, it's not as good as the book, but it's very good. Ewan McGregor and Jennifer Ferguson, is that her name? She plays the mother of Paul Atreides in the new Dune as well. I think it's Jessica Ferguson, maybe? Maybe not. I don't know. Anyways, watch Dr. Sleep. If you like The Shining, it's a soft continuation. It's by no means a sequel, but it has Danny. It's Danny all grown up.
Oh.
So, yeah. Definitely recommend it.
I love The Shining. I just love he's going to start with the axe and he I love it when he just runs around with the axe. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I love that part.
It's running like a maniac.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really good movie. I thought
Shelley Duvall played it so well. I just love Shelley Duvall with the over the top, trying to make everything great all the time for her husband, who absolutely they are like the worst possible couple imaginable. He's married to the worst possible person for him, and I just love that. I can't even explain how much I love it.
Right, he needs to be married to somebody that's like, well, you don't like it, go fuck yourself. You know, he needs to be married to just a hard right. woman. You know, not this. Yeah. Not the sweet, tender, Jack will make it, it's okay. No, he's going to snap.
Oh, yeah, man. Like there's so many instances in the movie where Jack is just straight up just a dick. Just
he's a terrible person, terrible human being,
horrible human being.
Well, you know it right from the get go when they're heading up to the Overlook Hotel, and he's telling his son about the Donner Party and how they had to eat each other, and. You know, he's just trying to, he loves causing mayhem. And I think there's a little part of me that identifies with him because I think there's a little part of me that's like him, which is horrible.
You just like scaring kids, huh?
The trolling lifestyle, you know?
Right. So it's kind of- he's the ultimate troll.
There's adults that are really like that, man. I've known them. They love scaring the shit out of kids. They love it. It's like they think that is so funny. It's like, dude, that kid didn't sleep for 3 days. You know that? Right.
Straight up, no better way to troll your family than trying to murder them with an axe in the hotel in the middle of nowhere.
LOL, just a prank, bro. Yeah.
It's just a prank. Sorry.
It's a little,
I'm not going to hit you with it. I was just going to hit the wall next to you. That's all.
Yeah, I was just kidding. Jeez.
Josh.
Do you like Stephen King in general, or is The Shining an exception?
I think The Shining is an exception. Okay. I'm kind of hit or miss with what I like. Now, I really did enjoy that Reanimator movie, and that's just one I just recently watched.
I may have to watch that one.
It's good. Yeah, cool. I really enjoyed it. Like, I laughed the whole time, and also felt scared the whole time. Like, I really enjoyed it, and I kind of like just whatever I happen to be in the moment.
I guess for your role it fits it. Read the book for Dr. Sleep and watch the movie. Or I mean, I'm a huge nerd for Stephen King, so it's everything I say is very biased, but the book for It is amazing. The new movies do it justice as well, but the book's amazing. His film adaptations in general aren't as good as his books are, but it's, you know, it fits the criteria. There's not a whole lot of pace of, you know, backpedaling across the kitchen, but there's a lot of existential, like Ethan talks about, existential cosmic horror, especially with It, you know, and he has a lot of themes that you'll notice if you do read more of his books, or if you watch, I mean, well, the movies to a lesser degree, but if you read his books, he has a lot of themes and characters that follow around, and you're like, holy shit, you're in this one too.
He kind of marries the, you know what, I don't want to say slasher is not a true slasher, but he almost marries the two, right? Like, you've got this cosmic being, but you've got it represented in this, you know, almost tangible creature on Earth, you know?
Yeah, and he still has weaknesses and things he has.
But really, I mean, really.
He's strong.
He's good. Is he still writing?
I think he started doing the past, I don't know if he's writing like within the last year or two, but the last decade he started doing mystery and like crime dramas, which is kind of weird. He's kind of, I guess, got tired of just doing horror. So
Jack Torrance, Private Eye.
He's just holding an axe.
So, trying to see when his last book was published.
Call me the Axe Man. Say,
I'm missing my cat. What do you want me to do about it?
Cuts the tree down.
He's snow crumbs.
He's still writing horror movies, horror books. He is still writing. So yeah, there you go.
And he must be pretty elderly now.
Oh yeah, he's 70. Let's say, hold on. God, his Wikipedia is 74. Yeah, he's getting up there.
Wow,
he's a good one. He's a good one.
Yep,
I really liked it. I like The Shining. I know we've talked about it numerous times, but Dark Tower, of course.
That's my favorite series of all time. It's a favorite. Any it's author. A good one. Very good.
It's a shame they didn't make a movie about it.
Yep, they did
shame,
not.
Shame that movie that definitely doesn't exist.
They just didn't make one. It doesn't exist. And it's someone who knows what they're doing ought to do it, though. It'd make a hell of a movie. But it's going to have to be spread out over a long, many, many sets of movies.
I love The Shining, the movie. It's definitely in my top three. It's one of my favorite. The Exorcist is another one. I really enjoy that.
Is that Scorsese? No, you're right. It's not Scorsese.
What's that guy's name? Have you, Fran, seen The Exorcist?
I did, like, many years ago.
Yeah.
And it was 1973, right? 1973.
Yeah, around that time.
And director, it says William Friedkin.
Yes.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
William Friedkin.
I was talking about the other one. Yeah.
Oh, the new one?
The horror movie. No, the horror movie with Overlook. Why did it just leave my brain?
The Shining.
Shining. Thank you.
Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he did another movie. That is my favorite movie, I think. One of them. Top five. For
Full
sure.
Metal Jacket.
No. That was meh. I mean, it gets a lot of play for the first 10 minutes of the movie during the basic training scenes. But after that, it's kind of like snooze.
Yeah.
But Dr. Strangelove was...
Oh, man, that's so good.
That movie's so good. So good.
There's so many movies that I should be watching. I'm going to be busy.
You got your work cut out for you.
Yeah. We've definitely
fallen far from talking about Communist China.
It's okay.
Dr. Strangelove. Well,
Dr. Strangelove got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. 1964 movie.
So good.
Yeah, it is. I wonder if
Rotten Tomatoes had been a thing when it released. So I do think about this sometimes cult classics that get reviewed by modern reviewers now. How much of it
is tinted glasses?
Right, wanting to fit in or just finding something cool, or yeah, like you said, rose tinted glasses. Whereas if it was available at the time, you know, would it have been a 6? Would it have been a 10? Would it have been a 2?
It might not have been appreciated like we appreciate it now.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
What if Dr. Strangelove came out today?
Dude, you could release that movie right now and it would be so fucking relevant you couldn't even believe it.
Yeah, but would it get a 98%?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Probably not. But, man, relevant. So relevant.
It's like take From Beyond or Reanimator. If it came out now, nobody'd see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I don't think it feels very dated in certain ways. The violent scenes maybe, but I don't know. I really don't know. They would have to update it a lot if they wanted to release it now. Do you think?
To get people, I mean, to have even the least amount of audience. Yeah. They would.
Yeah, you'd update the visuals.
Yeah. I don't think
it's definitely has a lot to draw you in, though. It's very salacious. Sure. Especially From Beyond, you've got the S&M, and you got the hot chick with the S&M, and the young scientist. You got the old pervert guy. I mean, it's a lot of gooey mess. There's a lot of overtones. I would say it really hooks you in. Really,
it's crazy. Like, dude loses all his hair. He's straight up albino. He's got some tentacle shit coming out of his forehead.
It's every woman's dream.
Every woman's dream.
It makes but you then, start Googling you know, the pineal gland, too. Like, what can I do with this gland that I haven't what been I doing? Because it seems like it doesn't. It's an aphrodisiac, that pineal gland. Once it starts popping out, right?
Oh, man. We're going down.
Easy. Next podcast. I know
where this goes.
I don't know. Next episode. It's just, I'm sorry. This is, I don't want to make your podcast rated R, but
it's there.
Definitely some overtones in that From Beyond movie. And Reanimator, yeah, they do add, I think Barbara Crampton really spices up any movie she's in. What's really amazing is she's in her 60s and she looks like almost the same as she did when she did those movies.
That freaking Tom Cruise, the son of a bitch, doesn't age.
Yeah. She's like the female equivalent of Tom Cruise.
It's crazy. It's like, man, I don't know what they're doing over there with that.
This blew me away. Speaking of Tom Cruise, is random trivia. I didn't realize that Top Gun and Mission Impossible, the unreleased one, had been done for like 2 years. Apparently they wrapped filming around the time that COVID started, or wrapped what? Production in general. And he had it written. This is all hearsay, but this is, so I don't have a link to give you, but it was written into his contract that the movie can't be released until there's a certain number of, like, until theaters at a certain average capacity. He didn't want it to go to streaming services because, you know, during COVID, a lot of movies would do a small theater release, but primarily do streaming services.
Right.
And that's, yes. Yeah, so the Mission Impossible has been done for like a year. Top Gun was finished like 2 years ago and it just released now. And apparently Mission Impossible is releasing, I think, this summer at some point or this fall. Yeah, it blew me away. And my first gut reaction to most things are, no, that's bullshit. But then I realized how big of an actor he is, like, as far as power, quote unquote.
Yeah, he could command that. He could command
that.
Yeah.
Now, he's batshit crazy, but he's very accomplished.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
he's crazy. He's crazy, right?
Oh, yeah, I think he's, as far as a human being, he seems like a pretty terrible human.
He's a pretty shit person, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he's a bad person? Do you think he's a bad person?
Yeah, I do.
I can't. Anyone that's that into Scientology with all the baggage and hurtful, like the way they hurt people, I can't really respect them as a person.
Shit he did his wife. Oh man.
Oh yeah, ugh. That. Oh, the Katie Holmes. Yeah, the stuff.
Is like, nah, man, you can't. Nah, that's inexcusable.
Yeah, and I think she might have been like a Catholic before that. That must have been upsetting to her parents to see your daughter. Yeah. But it's very easy, though, to get caught up in that if you're dealing with a celebrity, because I can just imagine it. Franny, dog walker. I did work as a pharmacist, but now I'm working as a dog walker. All of a sudden, a celebrity was to show up, sweep me off my feet, bring me to a private jet. I don't know how strong would I be against that. I don't know.
Yeah, you'd like to think you'd resist. Like everybody likes to think if you're asked if your morals would be compromised, you would immediately say no. But if someone waves enough money and power, it does weird things. It's really easy to try and guess how you'd react if it hasn't happened to you.
And the way he jumped up and down on Oprah's couch saying how much he loved her, I think I would be drawn into that. Nobody jumps up and down on their couch for me. And on the Oprah show, nonetheless, right?
And I mean, Tom Cruise.
Wow, he loves me. Look at that. That would buy him a few years with me, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, master manipulator.
I'd be down with it.
Yeah. Well, we're
keep doing it, Tom.
People are so manipulated by Hollywood, and I understand it because, you know, when I was watching the video of Brendan Fraser at the MegaCon, people were chanting things, and even though I'm a Brendan Fraser fan, the whole fandom experience of chanting things kind of doesn't sit well with me. And the autograph thing where you pay at those fandoms, you pay $100 for an autograph.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And it just, even though I'm a big fan, it just doesn't sit well with me. It almost feels like worshiping somebody. It almost feels like I went to Catholic school. It almost feels like you're going up for communion or reconciliation. You stand in line and then you blubber, I'm sorry, I'm just such a big fan, I love you man. And then he signs a piece of paper, you pay him $100-$200 or whatever, and you go on your way. It almost feels like a religious experience that shouldn't exist.
That's,
right, even if you're a big fan, it just doesn't feel right.
But it's because it's probably not.
Yeah, it's kind of like the American version of having a monarchy. But spooky. We just have a whole bunch of them.
That's spooky right there.
I really appreciated talking to you, Fran. It was nice to meet
you. Yeah, well, I really love talking to you guys, and I've been listening to your show, and I'm like, this is like a cool, relaxing show. Like, but when you listen to it, you're like, I'm right in the chode house. I just feel like
not the compliments I expected tonight, but I'll take it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Well, thank you so much, guys. It's been a blast, and I really enjoyed talking to you guys.
Thanks for coming on the show, Fran. If anybody is listening, you can listen to Fran and her podcast.
Happy Fangirl.
And thanks for listening, and good night, everybody.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Fran. It was good
talking. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you all. All right.